Welcome to the Bride of Christ podcast, where we exalt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and continuously learn through this thing called life with the only handbook we need, the Bible, the living word of God. I'm your host, Asha, and today's topic is distractions. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your love and kindness and your mercy in waking us up this morning. I thank you, Father God, for breathing life into us. I thank you, Lord God, for giving us another chance. I thank you, Lord God, for your thankfulness and your mercy, Lord God, and your faithfulness towards us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we repent of all of our sins, sins of omission and commission, things known and unknown. And right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray that whoever watches this video or listens to this audio, may their life never be the same in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, we give you all the honor, we give you all the glory, and we thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, the provider of all things. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone connected to me, along with whomever is watching or listening to this video. May you continue to maintain and sustain them all the days of their life, and may they come to know you, Father God, the fullness of who you are in the mighty name of Jesus, and may they walk in power and authority that you have given them through your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh God, I thank you. I plead the blood of Jesus over this audio, over this video, over this file, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, for your love and kindness and your mercy. Lord God, I thank you that it is so, and it shall not be otherwise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. This is episode 6. Oh my goodness. God is so good. God is so, so good. He is so merciful, and I'm so happy to be here with you once again on another episode. God is so good. So I had to take some time just because my birthday had just passed. To God be the glory. I am now in a whole new era of my life. I'm in a new decade. Glory be to God. So I just wanted to take some time to really spend time with the Lord and also spend time with my spouse. And he made my birthday absolutely amazing. And so without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this word. Once again, I am reading from the NIV version. I have the Jesus Bible. So I am reading from the NIV version, but we're going to work our way through Proverbs 16. And then, like I said, we're going to finish everything in Matthew 24. To God be the glory. Let's get into it. Proverbs 16. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. So the Lord wanted us to know the difference. So humans, okay, the plans in our hearts, they can be deceitful because our heart is deceitful. So even though we have plans in our hearts, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what the Lord wants. A lot of times it's fleshly desires and things that we want to accomplish and things that we want to do, building up or laying up for ourselves treasures here on earth. So our heart can be very deceitful, which is why we have to constantly ask the Lord to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Because a lot of times the enemy sends distractions in order to take our focus off of Jesus, to take our focus off of the things that the Lord has called us to do, away from the Lord and put it on him, or distractions that he sends, right? Because a lot of things that we are blessed with are from God. Good gifts, they're from God. But if we allow the world to taint it or pervert it, it can cause us to magnify our problems or insecurities or things that we're going through, bills, finances, all of these different things, emotions, offenses. It can cause us to magnify those things to where we can't even see the blessing in it anymore. And the enemy wants you distracted. He wants you distracted because if you're distracted, you're not praying. If you're distracted by a Netflix show, you're not spending time with God. You're not spending time in the Word. You're not doing things that are pleasing to God. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're just kind of wasting away. And that's not what we want as the body of Christ. And this is something that I even had to check myself on. Now I literally spend an allotted time watching TV. Other than that, because I'm already not a big TV person, but I like to watch YouTube. You know, I like to watch vlogs. I think they're very interesting to me. But I know that I can't spend such a long time watching these vlogs, and sometimes vlogs are 1 to 3 hours, which is absolutely insane. So I give myself 30 minutes in my day to sit and watch TV and enjoy it. And then after that, I would do something else that's productive. I'll spend time with God and try to get ideas for, you know, this channel or even my personal YouTube channel or TikTok. So there are definitely things that we are supposed to do and we're supposed to be productive in, but it's very difficult to do that if our focus is somewhere else. And another thing, TikTok is very distracting. Come on, TikTok is extremely distracting. You're scrolling for hours. Okay, sometimes you end up doom scrolling, just seeing all of the bad things in the world. But at the end of the day, the Lord wants your attention. He needs your attention. We need to be in the secret place with Him. And in order for us to do that, we have to be disciplined. So if the enemy has you distracted, he's going to take away your attention that you should be putting on Christ. And it causes you to be less disciplined and more lax about the things of the Lord, rather than going forth in an urgent matter concerning the things of the Lord. So then he says, from the Lord, proper answer of the tongue. Everything that the Lord does is just, and who He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So anything that He says, glory be to God, is going to come to pass. So the proper answer is always found in the Lord, but we can't get that answer or that instruction or the things that we need in the spirit if we're not spending time with God. Okay? Our ways seem pure to us, but our Lord looks at our motives and examines our heart. The Lord looks at the intention behind what we are trying to do. He looks at the intention, okay? So regardless of what we see on the outside from other people or even ourselves, the Lord looks at the heart. He examines it, but most importantly, He cares about the intention behind what we're doing. Verse 2, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and it just keeps me on the straight and narrow. It keeps me focused on the things of the Lord, because if we commit our ways to Him, He will make our path straight. We're not going to sway to the left or to the right, because we are about our Father's business. It is extremely important for us to commit every area of our life to Christ. Okay, even the darkest areas, surrender it to Him, commit every way to Him. Because as long as we're committing our way to Him, He can establish our paths. What does it mean to establish? And I love a good definition. Set up a set of rules or instruction on a permanent basis. Eventually, this becomes part of your character. Our Lord and Savior cares about our character. He cares about the type of person that we are in Him. Glory be to God. We are supposed to be a representation of who Jesus is here on earth. And in order for us to do that, a lot of times He has to prune, purge, and renew us in order for us to look more like Him and to have a mind like Christ. It also means to make something firm, stable, or permanent. The Lord is our firm foundation. We are supposed to be unmovable and unshakable in Him. And it's supposed to be permanent, because what the Lord does in us is a transformation, but it's a transformation in order for us to become whole. So in order for us to stay whole, the Lord needs to prune us, purge us, and establish our steps to where we're so focused on the things of the Lord. We're so focused on the plan that He has for us. We're so focused on completing the task that He has given us that nothing else can take our attention from Him. And lastly, it means settle permanently, settled in His will and word, so you are unshakable and unmovable. It is a beautiful thing to be settled in the presence of the Lord. It is a beautiful thing to settle in His presence, period. It is a privilege. It's a privilege that we as the body of Christ should not take for granted. It is a privilege to be in the Lord's presence. It is a privilege to seek His face. It is a privilege to repent. It is a privilege to serve the Lord. But if the enemy, right, is taking your attention and making you think that it's better for you to live for the world and do all of these different things and binge watch shows that literally have no substance or that are diabolical and abominable to the kingdom of God, now you have to be purged again because you allowed that into your eye and your ear gates. Our lamps, as the body of Christ and as the bride of Christ, should be so full like the virgins to where anything that we see, it should not influence us. It should fall right off. And the Holy Spirit should convict us and allow us to discern what's going on to where we don't even allow it into our eye and our ear gates. We have to be mindful. It is so easy to get distracted because there is so much going on in the world. But there is also so much to pray about. When you see things going on in the world, when you see things on the news, when you see things on YouTube, you should be asking the Lord, Lord, how can I intercede? How can I intercede for the kingdom? How can I intercede for the body of Christ concerning this? Lord God, I plead the blood of Jesus over us. I plead the blood of Jesus over the situation. I plead the blood of Jesus. When you're distracted by the things of the world, instead of being so distracted to where you can't see God, you need to be interceding. These need to be your prayer targets, okay? If the Lord leads you to see something, you need to pray about it. That's why we are here. We are here to intercede. And even when we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will intercede for us. Glory be to God. But he can't do that if we're so focused on these things and magnifying our problems and magnifying the circumstances in our life rather than keeping our mind and our hearts set on Jesus. The Lord establishes our ways to where it's settled, it's permanent, and it's firm. Just like this Bible. It's settled, it's permanent, it's firm. Your relationship with God should be settled, permanent, and firm. You're standing on business concerning the Bible. You're standing on business concerning the Word of God. You're standing on business concerning your walk. You're not compromising. You're not doing things outside of the Lord's will. If the Lord tells you to do something, you do it in the mighty name of Jesus, because obedience is better than sacrifice. But if you allow yourself to be distracted, if you allow yourself to even for a moment think that you're defeated, you're going to feel far away from God. And that's not what the Lord wants. We are constantly supposed to be in his presence. We are constantly supposed to have our cup full so that we can do the things that God has called us to do. Pray for those who God has called us to pray for. Intercede concerning the body of Christ. Intercede concerning the world. Intercede concerning our own circumstances. Intercede concerning our family members and our friends in the mighty name of Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But you can't do that if you're distracted. You can't do that if you're in a situationship or relationship that the Lord never called you to. That's causing you to compromise. Who said that? Yeah. The Lord is never going to put someone in your life that is going to take you away from his presence, take you away from who he is, lead you astray apart from his word. He's never going to send somebody in your life that's going to be doing that. Never. Someone sent by the Lord is going to literally speak life over you and into you. Read the word. Whatever they say is going to be straight Bible. If you're confused about something, they're going to tell you to pray about it, or they're going to pray for you. Glory be to God. Friendships can be distracting. Relationships can be distracting. All of it. And a lot of times the enemy uses people closest to you in order to get you off your game. But you have to plead the blood of Jesus, and you have to ask the Lord for his full armor and wear it every single day, so you are not distracted by the enemy's wiles or schemes. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It says it right here in verse 3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your paths. So whatever gift he has given you, whatever skill he has given you, the Lord said, commit it to me. I've already given it to you, because gifts are given without repentance. So whether you have a relationship with me or not, you're still operating in that gift. But it's better to operate the way that I intended through the Holy Spirit rather than in your own way, because then the enemy can pervert it. He says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts are deceitful as humans. But from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. He gives an answer, and it's a proper answer, and it's a stern answer, and it's the right answer. Glory be to God. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the heart. So the Lord constantly examines our heart and the intention behind it. Then it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Verse 4, the Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. And we already talked about this, right? And I love how the Lord always brings all of these episodes together. Glory be to God. Because this was very impromptu, but it's just bringing all of the episodes that we've already done together. I just love how strategic the Lord is. Glory be to God. We talked about coming out of the old thing into the new thing. We talked about letting go of our old ways and who we used to be. Then we talked about treasures in heaven. Glory be to God. Wow, God is so good. And now we're talking about the importance of God examining our hearts and the intention behind it, but us committing everything to Him, all of our ways to Him, so He can truly establish our plans in Him to where we are so firm and settled permanently in His presence and on His word that nothing causes us to compromise, not even for a moment. Because a moment of compromise, it can bring you back, especially when the Lord is accelerating you, brought you out of your exodus. It's crazy and baffling if you decide to turn back and do the things that you used to do. Whatever place He put you in, you are there and cannot be moved, but you can forfeit your position if you are distracted. Don't forfeit your position. Don't forfeit what the Lord is doing in your life. Don't forfeit it because you want to turn around and look back. There's nothing back there for you. Absolutely nothing. No friendship, no man, no situationship, no job. If the Lord called you out of it, it's because the anointing has lifted, like my spiritual mother always says, glory be to God, and it's time for you to move. So if the Lord has called you out of it, it's because He's trying to do a new thing, or He wants you to be so dependent on Him, so trusting, that you trust in Him more than you trust in your paycheck. That you trust in Him more to do exactly what He said He was going to do, because His word never fails and it never returns to Him void. Glory be to God. Don't forfeit your position. Stay in position. Be ready. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. The enemy wants you to forfeit your position so you do not get your crown. He wants you to forfeit your position so you do go to hell. He wants you to forfeit your position because you are called to greater. You're supposed to be furthering the kingdom of God. That's the part of the Great Commission. We're supposed to preach the gospel and make disciples. And it's very difficult to do that if we're not focused on Jesus. If we're distracted, oh, we're doing this, that, and the third. We have our hands in so many different things to where we don't even know what our calling is. We don't even know what our purpose is. But oh, when you sit in the secret place and you become still and you allow the Lord to be Lord over your life and you commit all your ways to Him so He can establish your plans, your life changes tremendously and you become so dependent on Jesus, glory be to God, that you can't function outside of His presence. I want to be at the Lord's feet. I want to be in His presence. There have been times when I have been in my prayer closet and I would be in there for hours. And while being engaged, I would spend so much time in my prayer closet because I spent so much time in my prayer closet before I got engaged. And so now being married, I have to prioritize that time, right? I have to prioritize that time. But being in the Lord's presence is amazing. It's sweet. It is a privilege to know Jesus. It is a privilege to be in His presence. It is a privilege to experience His goodness. It is a privilege to be so dependent on Him that even when you don't know what you're doing or where your next meal is going to come from or how the Lord is going to provide, He provides in a mighty way because you're living right. It is a privilege to live right. It is a privilege to be obedient. It is a privilege to let go of people that you're supposed to let go of. It is a privilege to allow the Lord to correct you. Glory be to God. Because He corrects those whom He loves. It is a privilege to be in His presence. But it is so disrespectful when we are so distracted or we get something that we have prayed to God for and we have the audacity to think that we did it and God didn't. Verse 5. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this. They will not go unpunished. Any gift, any blessing that the Lord gives you, never think that you are self-made. Do not have a proud heart about it. Do not be prideful about it. Do not be haughty. That was from the Lord. Give Him all the glory and praise. Continue to have a humble heart, glory be to God, and be in a state of thankfulness and reverence for the Lord. Because as long as we fear the Lord, as long as we thank the Lord, as long as we stay in His presence and are obedient to Him, He will continue to establish our paths. But never think even for a second that Satan was right, because he wasn't. He got kicked out of heaven, glory be to God, thrown down. He got thrown out of heaven because of pride. So do not be prideful. It shouldn't be named among the saints. Shouldn't even be named among the saints. It is detestable to God. And I love a good definition, right? So detestable means abominable, extremely hateful to God, idolatry, sexual immorality, or practices that violates God's standard of holiness. So if something is detestable, it violates God's standards of holiness. My God, I shouldn't even be near it. You shouldn't even be near it. Because it's going to corrupt you. It won't maintain and sustain and equip you. It's going to corrupt you. Mm-mm. That's not what we want as the body of Christ. Since the Lord works everything out for our good and everything to its proper end for the righteous and the wicked, judgment and punishment is a definite end for the wicked. Having a prideful heart, doing things that are detestable to God, the definite end to wickedness is judgment, point blank period. It's hell. It's the lake of fire. Verse 6, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. Glory be to God. This is another favorite from this scripture, because the Lord's love and faithfulness, Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, atoned everything. Glory be to God. But through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. When we have a fear from the Lord, we don't want to do anything detestable to God. When we have a fear of the Lord, we don't even want to go into compromising situations. The Lord won't even let it happen. When you're set apart, when you're chosen, the Lord will not let it happen. You're going to try to go out. You're not going to have fun. You're going to try to wear something. The Lord is going to convict you. Like, it's literally, if you're in it, you're going to be in it. If you're going to be representing the body of Christ, he is going to make sure that you stay on that straight and narrow path. Okay. And that just comes from him being such a merciful and loving and kind father. So love and faithfulness equals Jesus atoning it all through his blood. Glory be to God. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as his word says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. So having a reverence for God, fearing him, glory be to God. Having a healthy fear. Because it's important for us to fear the Lord. If we don't fear the Lord, we're going to do whatever we want. We're going to live wild, young, and free. And that's not what the Lord has called us to do. Okay? We're not animals. There's a standard. There's a standard of holiness. There's a standard of structure. There's a standard of doing things the Lord's way. Glory be to God. In everything that we do, in how we raise our children, and how we get married, and how we have relationships and friendships, and how we treat people. Strangers that we don't know, people in the body of Christ, unbelievers, there is a standard. We can't go out here and do everything that we want to do. We cannot live a raggedy life. We can't do things that are not pleasing to God. Because the moment that we do, we're going to get convicted, right? You're going to feel that condemnation. You're going to feel that judgment. You're going to feel that guilt. You're going to feel that shame. That's what the enemy wants, but he wants you to stay there. But you're not going to stay there in the mighty name of Jesus. You're going to wake up, get up, repent, and give your life to Christ all over again, and do it again, and do it again, and do it again. God is merciful and loving. The fact that you even woke up this morning, the fact that you're even watching this video, the fact that you're even listening to this podcast, that is God's grace and mercy. Glory be to God. The fact that I'm even here, it's God's grace and mercy. And we still have work to do because we're still here. So it's no need to focus on things that have nothing to do with the Lord. And it's no need to not fear him. You need to fear the Lord. You need to fear the Lord. That's how we become wise. That's how we don't interject ourselves in situations or try to help people that we don't need to help. You know, that's how we keep ourselves from stumbling, because we have our mind set on Jesus and we're not distracted. So evil is avoided when we fear the Lord. We avoid people, places, and things that would cause us to fall short. Hey now, we do. And it's better to avoid these things rather than put ourselves in these compromising situations, because the enemy is going to be working overtime trying to get you to compromise, overtime trying to get you influenced, overtime. He's going to be working overtime with lust, perversity, abominable things. He's going to be working overtime. So be very mindful. Be very mindful, be vigilant, stay vigilant in the things of the Lord. Don't become stagnant, don't procrastinate, don't delay. Focus on the things of the Lord. Don't put yourself in compromising situations. If you say you're not going to drink, Don't drink. If you say you're not going to be intimate until marriage, say that. Do that. And that means pleasuring yourself as well. You're not supposed to be doing any of it. Any of it. If you say that your yes is yes, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You can't teeter and totter out of hell. You can't teeter and totter out of heaven. You can't teeter and totter. No, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. You're either going to be on the right side or you're going to be on the wrong side. Point blank period. Distractions cause and lead you to destruction and further away from your destiny. If you're not focused on the things of the Lord, then the enemy gets you so distracted to where you're focused on all of these different things. Our relationship with God, just like anything else in our life, right, is about consistency and it's about discipline. You have to be disciplined to go into the place of the Lord. You have to be disciplined in order to work out and eat healthy. You have to be disciplined with your skincare routine if you want your skin to be nice. I was literally in the mirror and he was like, if you were as consistent in my word as you are with your skincare routine, I would change your life. And I was like, oh, heard you, Lord. And after that, I was reading the word. After that, I was in prayer. Glory be to God. And he did change my life. He changed my life. Every hurt, every pain, every sorrow, every trauma, like the Lord wiped it clean out. Changed my life to where I literally fear the Lord. I fear him. I don't want to do anything that's going to cause me to separate myself from him. And even if I do even feel myself teetering and tottering or falling short even just a little bit, I repent. I repent every single day. I repent for me and my husband. I repent. I repent. I repent. I repent. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. But if we stayed as consistent with our relationship with God and reading his word and praying and doing the things that he's truly called us to do, he will change our lives. He will. But if we're distracted by vanity and all of these different things that do nothing for us, it only works on the outside appearance rather than the inside, what are we going to have? Popularity. Popularity, but we'll hear, depart from me, I never knew you. That's scary. You know, so don't be so distracted to where it takes you from the things of the Lord, to where it takes you from his presence. So when you are living right, your enemies have to make peace with you. Glory be to God. Verse 7, when the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. Glory be to God. So you're telling me I live right and the Lord causes my enemies to make peace with me? Glory be to God. The Lord already said, your enemies will be your footstool. Just like I said, when I went to the secret place, the Lord purged me of all of these things. He did it. He did it. Glory be to God. And I was praying for my enemies. I was praying for the people that did me wrong. I was praying that they come to salvation, that they come to know the Lord. I was praying for their soul. I was praying for their children. And I still do to this day. If the enemy tries to, you know, try to plant a little seed of discord or unforgiveness, I uproot it in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm going to pray for them instead. May they come to know Jesus. May they come to know Jesus. Because I'm not going to be judged for what they did to me. I'm going to be judged on what I did as far as laying it down at the Lord's feet, as far as praying for them. That's what I'm going to be judged for. Not carrying those seeds of unforgiveness and bitterness. Mm-mm. Allow God to transform you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. When you are living right, your enemies have to make peace with you. When you are living right, the Lord works out everything for your good. When you are living right and you know obedience is better than sacrifice and you fear the Lord, you're not going to do anything that compromises your walk. Glory be to God. And even when things do rise up, even when you are faced with something, even when the enemy does try to magnify something, you know what you do? You pray about it and you give it to the Lord and you leave it there in the mighty name of Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do as the bride of Christ. Righteousness is always going to be over injustice every single time. Vengeance is the Lord's. There is no need for you to try to get back at somebody. There is no need for you to be distracted with unforgiveness, bitterness, and frustration, and all of these different feelings and emotions, because the enemy wants your emotions. If he can get your emotions, he can get your mind. So it's no need to be distracted by the things of the enemy. It's no need to be distracted about things and how people hurt you and all of these different things. Woe is not you. Mm-mm, mm-mm. That's not your story. You're going to lay it at the Lord's feet and you're going to move forward in Jesus' mighty name. Because your feelings can literally cause you to be in spiritual bondage. Unforgiveness can lead to bitterness, can lead to jealousy, can lead to so much malice that it leads to anger, and it could lead you to kill somebody. Like, there are doorways. So if the enemy can get you so distracted by comparing your life or wanting someone's life or doing all of these different things that have nothing to do with God, you can lose who you are in that. And that's not what the Lord wants, but the enemy wants you distracted. But the word says right here, if we commit our ways to the Lord and allow the Lord to fight our battles, our enemies have to make peace with us. They have to. It's not even for your benefit. It's for the Lord's word to come to pass. Because a lot of times after you've forgiven them or you've prayed for them, you don't care about the situation. So when they do come and apologize and do all of these things or whatever, okay, thank you so much and God bless you and move on in the mighty name of Jesus. But isn't the Lord so gracious in causing your enemies to make peace with you? Verse 8, better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. Verse 9, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Once again, the Lord is establishing our steps. Regardless of the plans that we have, regardless of the goals that we have, we need to ask God every day, Lord, what do you want me to do with my day? How do you want me to move? What do you want me to eat? How do you want me to start my day? How do you want me to go through my day in the mighty name of Jesus? Father God, establish my paths. Establish my plans. And may I execute it. May I execute it. Whatever I offer to you, may it be my best. However I do it, glory be to God. May you strengthen me and may I do it with joy. Glory be to God. This is blessing me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can plan our course, but the Lord establishes our paths. He makes it firm. He makes it permanent. And he has it settled. Glory be to God. Guard your heart and mind in Christ. And he preserves your life. He preserves it. Glory be to God. Verse 10. The lips of a king speak as an oracle, and his mouth does not betray justice. Honest scales and balances belong to the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. Verse 12. Kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value the one who speaks what is right. A king's wrath is a messenger of death, but the wise will appease it. When a king's face brightens, it means life. His favor is like a rain cloud in spring. Verse 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. Verse 17. The highway of the upright avoids evil. Those who guard their ways preserve their lives. Glory be to God. Reading verses 10 through 15, it really just made me think of the Lord. It made me think of his goodness and his mercy, but also that he is a just God. And as long as we stay on the straight and narrow path and live a life pleasing to him, we have nothing to worry about concerning the wrath of God. But when you step outside of that, that's when you really do have to answer to what you've done here on earth. So the notes that I wrote down from this specific, So verse 17, the highway. Okay, yes. So guard your heart and your mind in Christ, and he preserves your life. He preserves your life when you guard your eye and your ear gates. He preserves your life when you're not distracted. He preserves your life when you are living right. Glory be to God. He preserves your life when you're living an honest life. He preserves your marriage. He'll preserve your finances. He'll preserve every area of your life. He preserves your life when you honor your mother and your father. He preserves your life when you're faithful to your spouse. He preserves your life when you are good to your children. Glory be to God. And you raise them up in the way that they should go so that they shall never depart from it. He preserves your life when you do things decent and in order. He preserves your life when you live a holy life. Glory be to God. Verse 18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 19, better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. There goes that proud again. He's like, look, I don't need you to be proud. I don't need you to be haughty. I need for you to live for me. And if you're not going to live for me, then what are you doing? If you're proud, if you're prideful, you're looking just like Satan, not one of mine. So come out from among them in the mighty name of Jesus. You need to be living for me. Verse 20, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. The wise in heart are called discerning, and gracious words promote instruction. Verse 22, prudence is a fountain of life to the prudent, but folly brings punishment to fools. So if you heed instruction, you prosper. Glory be to God. Because warning always comes before destruction, okay? And if we heed the instruction that the Lord initially gives us, we won't go down the path of destruction. Instead, we will prosper. Glory be to God. And you're blessed because you trust in the Lord. The word says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So when you trust in the Lord rather than leaning on your own understanding, you're blessed. Hallelujah. Like God, I love his word because it's just like, he's like, this is really plain. Like I'm making a plain. I'm telling you, this is what it is. Yay or nay, live right or not, blessed or cursed, prosper or fail. Like God is so good. Wise in heart means discerning. We should always be asking the Holy Spirit to heighten our discernment. We should always be asking the Holy Spirit to strengthen us in our gifts so that we can discern when something is going on in the spirit. We can discern it and we can pray about it. Glory be to God. Verse 23, the hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent and their lips promote instruction. Verse 24, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So gracious words promote instruction. This is why it's so important to speak life into people and over people rather than speaking anything contrary to that. And it can promote instruction that the Lord has already given someone. It can be a confirmation that the Lord has already given someone. If we are speaking from a place of the Lord's presence and through the Holy Spirit, it can be confirmation and it can further that person into the kingdom, into the things of God, and into that instruction that the Lord has already confirmed. Glory be to God. So what is prudence? Prudence is careful consideration, foresight, and wise decision making, not in haste. So thinking ahead, evaluating situations, and it's you acting with discernment to avoid negative situations and consequences. So this is something that the Lord has really been doing in me, I will say, because I'm the type of person I would always be late, always. But by the grace of God, the Lord has changed that in me. So when I was working, at first I was on time, then I became late, and then I started to be on time again, right? But the Lord showed me, he was like, it's better to be on time. It's better to be early. It's better to do things decent and in order, like my evangelist always says. It's better to do things decent and in order, because then the Lord is like, okay, I see what you're doing with this, so now I'll be able to bless you with this. So now he's like, okay, you can be on time. So now I'm calling you away from that job and I'm calling you to full-time ministry. So now you really have to prioritize your time and show up for me. The Lord really does care about us being prudent. He cares about us thinking ahead and evaluating things so that we're not putting ourselves in compromising situations, and so that we are thinking ahead to where we can do things that are pleasing to God and that we can show up for him the right way. And I think that is just so amazing. Prudence is such a beautiful thing, especially as a woman. It's something that we should embody as women of God, for us to be better helpers to our husbands, for us to be better friends, for us to be better leaders, for us to be just better. Thinking ahead to avoid negative situations and consequences are extremely important. When you're focused on Christ and not distracted, he can cultivate your gifts, character, and give you instruction that not only benefit your life, but further generations to come. So the Lord is all about kingdom. Glory be to God. We have to have a kingdom mindset in the body of Christ. We have to, because the decisions that we're making, how we're moving and shaking in the earth. Glory be to God. It's not just about us. When we're praying, it's not just about us. It's about the world. It's about the body of Christ. It's about people being saved. It's about generations to come. Okay? The Lord cares about all things. Glory be to God. He wants everybody to be delivered. He wants everyone to have salvation. It's not His will for us to perish. It's not His will for anyone to perish. Okay, it's His will for us to have everlasting life and to be reunited with Him. So making sure that we're focused on Christ, He's able to really cultivate the things that He put in us to where we can further His kingdom and do the things that He's called us to do. But most importantly, impart those things to our children and have generations that are just dedicated and in awe of God. Like, come on. That's so rewarding. Verse 25. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Don't focus on what it appears to be, but what God says it is in His word. Regardless of how the wicked seem to prosper, regardless of what the wicked seem to do, you are set apart. You should be interceding and praying that they are saved in the mighty name of Jesus. You should not be like them. You should not look like the world. You should not do things like the world does. You should look like Christ. Okay, because regardless of what it looks like on the outside, the Lord is looking at the heart. He's looking at the intention. So even though it seems to be right, even though it's clearly wrong, but it seems to be right to the world, it eventually leads to death, because broad is the way to hell. It's the way to destruction. Narrow is the way to heaven. Verse 26, the appetite of laborers works for them. Their hunger drives them on. Verse 27, a scoundrel plots evil, and on their lips is like a scorching fire. Verse 28, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. If someone is perverse or if they gossip, you should not have them in your life. And I'm just going to say this straight up from experience. If the Lord shows you who someone is, believe Him. Do not try to make it work. Do not try to continue to be friends. Do not be like, oh, I just have a big heart and I just want... No, 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 no. The Lord is showing you because He's protecting you. He's showing you so you are not deceived. He's showing you so you are not in spiritual bondage. He's showing you because this person is most likely doing something behind the scenes, saying things or doing witchcraft or doing something that is abominable to God. And the Lord is showing you that you need to let this person go. So if they are perverse, if they go with the flow and just do everything that they want to do, just dilly-dallying, or if they care about popularity and how they look all the time rather than the things of the Lord, if they see that you're moving and having a relationship with God and they decide to cut you off because of it, because it has happened to me, no matter how long you have been friends with somebody, it does not matter. When the Lord shows you who someone is, believe them and move along. Because if someone is perverse, they're going to be wrestling with a lot. And a lot of times it's a legion of demons. It's going to take a lot of time for them to be delivered. But you can't make someone want to be delivered. They have to make a change and they have to surrender their life to Christ. You can't make them do that. And if they hate you because you're seeking the Lord or because you're praying for them and they decide that they don't want to be your friend anymore, or you get engaged and they decide to block you, or they see that you're having a relationship with God and they think it's not that deep or not that serious, no ma'am, no ham, no turkey. Cut them off, move along in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray for them and pray that they come to know the Lord. We are supposed to work out our own salvation. It is not your responsibility to save someone. It is a sound decision that an adult has to make in order to seek the Lord. And if they're not willing to do it, it's no point in you staying around. Pray for them and move forward in the mighty name of Jesus. And if they gossip about other people, they're going to gossip about you. I do not have any friends that gossip. Mm-mm-mm. Gossiping does nothing for me. Gossiping is minding someone else's business. And I don't do that. Gossiping and minding someone else's business causes wrinkles. That is not my portion, okay? Our youth is renewed like an eagle's. Glory be to God. So why would I sit up and run my mouth or talk about someone that has nothing to do with me and my life or what I have going on? Shouldn't even be named among the saints. If they're perverse and they're gossiping, do not keep them around, okay? Bad company corrupts good morals every single time. It is no point in gossiping about a person, place, or thing that you know nothing about, because you will have to give an account for it every single time you do it. So repent in the mighty name of Jesus. You're not in competition with anyone. You're not gossiping about anything. You're not doing anything that shouldn't be named among the saints. We are set apart. Therefore, we are to act like it. And I know as women, it's easy for us to dilly and dally and talk about any and everything. But as a woman of God, you're not supposed to talk about any and everything. If anything, we are supposed to be glorifying the Lord. We are supposed to be speaking life into our husbands. We are supposed to be speaking life over our friends and our families. We are supposed to be a representation of who God is. Glory be to God. Anything apart from that, I want no parts, and you shouldn't either. Verse 29, a violent person entices their neighbor and leads them down a path that is not good. A violent person can entice you to do things that you never were intended to do. A violent person can hurt someone because of jealousy. A violent person can provoke and provoke and provoke you until you give in. Regardless of what the enemy tries to do, no matter who he tries to use, no matter who he tries to use in road rage, honking at you, doing anything with their fingers that they shouldn't be doing, okay? That spirit of offense, you bind it and loose it back into the pit of hell so that it may never return. It is not that serious because a violent person has nothing to lose. So you pray for them and you move on in the mighty name of Jesus. We're not giving the enemy any type of foothold in our life. And these are triggers. Being prideful, being a scoundrel, being a thief, being perverse, a violent person, or a neighbor, haughty heart, disruptions, grievances, etc. All of these things are distractions to get you off of your game. All of these things are provoking spirits that are trying to provoke you into doing something that is outside the will of God. We move forward. We do not feed into it. Feeding into anything that the enemy is trying to do, we don't do that. I'll give an example. Yesterday, I tried filming this video 2 times. Okay. And I couldn't do it in this specific area, but I love to do it in this specific area because I like when things look the same. And I asked the Lord, I was like, Lord, where else can I do this video? Because I really want to get it done. Like, there's just an urgency in my spirit because I need to get this video done. I tried to go in 2 different places, but there was always some resistance. There was always something going on. I tried to go outside on my balcony. People upstairs decided to come out, start smoking, saying a lot of derogatory things. And then I don't even know how they saw me, but they were like, oh, I think she's streaming or filming or doing something and all this kind of stuff. Then they were like, I bet she's this. I bet she's that. And I was like, oh, this is the enemy trying to provoke me. Okay. So instead, I just come in the house and I try to go on my rooftop. I try to do it that way. I filmed the video, but I'm hot. I'm literally dripping in sweat because I'm trying to have my mic not pick up any other noise. So I have my window cracked just a little bit and I'm literally filming the video. My God. And I'm hot. I'm literally so hot and I can see it in the video that I'm literally dripping in sweat. And I'm like, this is not my best. I'm not going to upload this. And I'm like, Lord, I'm just going to have to do this tomorrow. So this morning, the Lord wakes me up. Glory be to God. And I immediately am like, I need to film today. I need to film today. I need to get this video out. And here I am. Glory be to God. But see, the enemy was trying to provoke me yesterday on the balcony because they were saying very derogatory and out of pocket things. Okay. And I'm sitting here literally talking about the word of God and they are a neighbor. And what did it say right here in the word? A violent person entices their neighbor and leads them down a path that is not good. So instead of them leading me down a path that was not good, I came in here, I spoke to my husband, and I said, I'm going to try to do this one more time. And if it doesn't work, it just doesn't work. And the Lord has another plan in order for me to do it a different day. And glory be to God, here we are. So if the enemy tries to provoke you, do not give in. You know it wouldn't be of the Lord if you did the things that God hasn't called you to do anymore. And you knew it wouldn't be of the Lord if you decided to go off. Okay, I don't care what it is or who it is. Don't allow the enemy to provoke you. You say, God bless you. Glory be to God and move along. Pray for him. Pray for him in the mighty name of Jesus or pray him out. Do whatever you got to do, but just pray. Amen. Just pray. Verse 30. Whoever winks with their eye is plotting perversity. Whoever pursues their lips is bent on evil. Verse 31. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. Verse 32. Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. Verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. Every decision you make should be from the Lord. Every decision. I don't care if it's a small decision, big decision, little decision, purple decision, red decision. You need to make every decision based on the Lord. Ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? Lord, how do you want me to go about this? Even if you have to go to the secret place and sit there for a while, write it down, journal it, bring it to the Lord, bring it at his feet, and he will give you an answer in his perfect timing. Every decision you make, glory be to God. We are to love God and walk faithfully with him. Return to the Lord because he doesn't want any of us to perish. Don't be distracted. Give your first fruits to the Lord and let him really be Lord over your life. So when I say first fruits, I don't just mean tithing. We are supposed to tithe, but we are also supposed to give the Lord the first fruits of our time. When we wake up, pray. Give the Lord thanks for waking you up, for waking your husband up, for allowing you to have a sound mind, for allowing you to have a clean heart, renewed in the right spirit. Thank him for his goodness. Thank him for keeping you through the night. Thank him for waking you up, that you have lights, that you have hot water that's running, that you have clean water to drink, that you have food to eat. Glory be to God. That you can do the things to further his kingdom, that you have healthy children, that you have a healthy body. Glory be to God. So don't be distracted. Give your first fruits to him. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 through 39 says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Don't be so distracted that you miss the coming of the Lord. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. The enemy wants your mind. He wants you to be distracted. He wants your attention, but we are not to give it to him in the mighty name of Jesus. You never want to be so distracted that you miss the coming of the Lord. My God, we're supposed to be ready so we don't have to get ready. Stay in position. Don't forfeit your position. Don't forfeit your destiny. Don't forfeit because you're distracted. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your mind, your ears, your soul, your spirit guarded in the Lord. Ask the Lord to create in you a clean heart and renew a right spirit within you. Keep everything in alignment with the word of God. Don't do anything outside of it, because this is not the time to play around. We are in the last days, and distractions and deception is at an all-time high. You do not want to be distracted. You do not want to miss the coming of the Lord, because he is coming like a thief in the night. Come on, we're going to blink and we're going to be raptured out of here. Glory be to God. So be vigilant. Stay awake. Keep your eyes open. Don't be distracted, because we see in the word what happens when we're distracted. But God's faithfulness and his love, he continues to be patient with us, and he is going to come back for his church. So we must be ready. We must stay in his word. We must do Bible study. We must pray. We must intercede. We must live a life pleasing to God, because that is the standard. That is the standard. No compromise. That is the standard. I love you all with the love of the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, I pray that you come to know him in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask that you pray this prayer with me. Father God, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and I repent of all of my sins. If you prayed that prayer with me, welcome to the kingdom of God, and may the Lord continue to maintain and sustain you all the days of your life, and may you dwell in the house of the Lord forever, as his word says in Psalm 91. I love you all with the love of Christ. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for watching. May the Lord continue to keep you, maintain and sustain you. And by God's grace, I will see you all in my next one. To God be the glory. Love you all.